Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
Is good, everybody. Welcome back to 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. This is episode 122. And I can say it now. Joined, as always, by my good friend, the co-host, the other half of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast now, Mr. Matty Kiwoom. How you doing tonight, Matty?
Doing great. The first time was one-off. Then there was two. That's a back-to-back. That's a bit of a streak. Now it's three. That's a winning streak, boys. We here now. I'm home, baby.
I thought you were going to go down the path of Major League.
You know
we won yesterday. We won today. If we win tomorrow, that's three in a row. That's what they call a winning streak. It has happened before.
This is exactly why I love you, Mike, because in the depths of my dumb brain, I was trying to find that, and I could I could not find the line, so I had to stammer my way through it, and my boy picked me up, and that is why we're officially, we can now say we're co-host mind meld.
You can pick up
what I'm putting down. Ba, 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 ba.
And if you don't like Major League, like, then fuck you.
Yeah, for real.
Turn this episode off. I don't like you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we ain't friends.
I mean, you can. You don't have to, but whatever.
Give us a view. Give us a download.
Give us a 5-star rating just because I told people we don't like the movie Major League to fuck off.
Yeah.
Maddie, I have a feeling we're going to alienate some people, but I don't give a shit. It's our show. We can do what we want. Mm-hmm. There was a pretty prominent fantasy account this week that tweeted out some terrible take. Terrible take, and I want to get your opinion on it. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but essentially what they said is they would be willing to trade the 25-101 for Baker Mayfield in a Superflex league. First off, let me get your initial reaction to that for the people. Anybody who follows me knows my reaction was not very positive, and I will dive into that, but I want to get your opinion. Trading the 2025 rookie 101 pick, so this is assuming this fucker's locked up, which, hey, you're in some leagues, man, you know, sometimes that pick been locked up in some of these leagues for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that's going to happen to that 101 where they're going to change it, but it's assuming it's locked up. It's the 101 rookie pick. It's not a player. It's the pick. It's a super flex league. You trading that for Baker Mayfield?
Frig no. And the only reason why I didn't say the other word, because I don't know if we're deep enough into the podcast that it gets us derailed algo-wise, but hell no.
That's right. Fuck them.
It's counterintuitive to anything that, any way we dynasty. If you have the 101 locked, like if you were tuning in last week, you know, you helped me through trying to make some trades in that 1-8 league, and I have nothing to update. I'm out here in the streets grinding. But people know I'm down, and they're just kicking me when I'm down, those sons of bitches. But anyway, that's a team that's locked up the 101 and has had the 101 locked up. And there's no way in hell I'm trading it for Baker Mayfield. What does Baker Mayfield do to a team that's so bad you've locked up the 101 by Thanksgiving? What does he do year to year? And what I don't understand is, especially from this specific account, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like they're not a great, you know, follow. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't listen to their advice or respect the shit out of what they do. But for this specific account to say this It's like, is now everyone just fucking engagement farming? Does no one want to actually get their hands dirty anymore and talk about how real fantasy happens? Are we just throwing shit out on social media so that everyone gobbles it up like all the fish that people are, and they're just coming up to the top of their bowls with flakes and up, 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 up? Is that just what this game has become? Because what they wouldn't do this. I watched all of their film breakdowns. They're all pro rebuild in the traditional sense, everything they do. And then all of a sudden, you're just going to piss it away for a quarterback who's performing well. But if you use the warp charts, people, you would realize he isn't the difference maker that the fantasy points per game would have you suggest. He's not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the step above all quarterbacks right now in all formats. He ain't that. He's not even in the next tier. He's in the tier after that. And now you're going to go ahead and move the 101, the most. The 101 is the opposite of a car, right? What is the logic in buying a car? The second you drive it off the lot, it depreciates.
Depreciates, yep.
The 101 does not depreciate until, I don't know if it ever does. I mean, do you ever see a 101 go down in value?
The only time I have, and this is very, very specific to a specific type of league, Maddie, is pre-NFL rookie drafts. So we have a lot of them. I have a ton of them that are drafted about a month before the NFL draft. And the 101 still has appeal then, Maddie. But there is a fine line because I do remember the wonderful 2022 NFL draft class, the rookies. And at the time, the information was Malik Willis or Sam Howell, first overall pick maybe in the NFL draft. Either way, they're locks in the first round. It's happening. Quarterbacks in the Superflex League. So you made that pick, and then a month later, it was completely nuked and shit on. Even though there was a certain other fantasy website out there with Malik Willis that still, you know, a month past the NFL draft, after he was a third round pick, still had him as a top 12 rookie in Superflex rookie rankings, which I thought was asinine at the time, but it is what it is. But that is the only time. But even if you say like this pick, Caleb Williams has depreciated in value, and that was a lot of people's 101. But we're in November, Maddie, before he's lost that value, like started to lose. And he still has an incredible amount of value. For sure. It's not often. It is very, very, very rare. And unless you're in these pre-NFL rookie drafts where you end up taking a Malik Willis at the 101 a month before the NFL draft just to get your heart broke, you're fucked. But even in those leagues that we had, like I've kept track of this for years. In those leagues, I want to say there was only one Malik Willis pick that was a 101. Everybody else just kind of pivoted to Breece Hall as the de facto 101 in pre-NFL rookie drafts. For years, they've enjoyed that one, right? Like, that one hasn't cratered for them, so they've been like, that was a good pick.
Yeah.
It's a good pick. Like, it really hurt me or cost me value. Yeah, if there's anything that's sacred and not going to lose dynasty value, it's the 101, Maddie. Like, the 112 would shit all over you, but it still appreciates from where we are now, mid-November, until the actual NFL draft and right after it, you know, until rookie drafts, until that pick's actually made, and then it's an actual player, and somebody's got to, like this year, somebody had to make a decision whether they're in on Ladd or Keon Coleman or Adonai Mitchell or, you know, Jonathan Brooks or whatever it was. But even all those guys, did they go down in value over the summer? No. No. As soon as they started playing preseason ball and we saw gym shorts highlights and all this shit, they stayed about the same, if not went up a little bit more. It wasn't until we got to the in season then, you know, decisions are being made. But to say that Baker Mayfield over the 101 was pretty crazy to me. Maddie, you did touch on a point here, and I kind of wanted to divide this into sections. It's not going to be a complete dunk on it, but one of the three sections I had in my mind on why you would send something out like that was what you touched on. It's engagement farming. It's for clicks. It's being an Instagram thought, you know? For those of you too old to know what thought is, it's not a good term. it's wearing, you know, scantily clad clothing for one reason only. Like, mm-hmm. There's dudes not hitting the like button on that fucking Instagram picture because they think you have a great personality or because they want to get to know you. They do, just not in a way that matters. But that's why you send something like that out, right? Like, that's one of the reasons. Now there could be others, and we'll dive into those more logical ones that are still misguided, but engagement farming, trying to be hot takey, trying to get the clicks, get the views up. And the craziest part about me seeing something like that, and I think, Maddie, you can attest to it, and I can vouch for you, I can vouch for a lot of people at South Harm, I can vouch for a lot of really smart, dope content creators in the space that I respect. They don't have to be here. You know, I'll ride for anybody at any company if I like the stuff that you're putting out. Mm-hmm. I can vouch for a lot of them. When they say things, they actually fucking do them. You know what I mean? If they go out there and tell you, go buy Jordan Love for XYZ. And even if somebody says, oh, that's a little too pricey or that's a little too hot take, I can guarantee I'm probably in a league with them somewhere where I watched them do the exact same thing. Like, they stand behind their shit. I have a tendency to believe with this Baker Mayfield for the 101 thing, there wasn't a fucking person who agreed with it, who said it, who actually had the fucking stones to go do it. Mm-hmm. And put it out there. Like, yep, I stand behind it. I can respect you at least if you're going to stand behind it. May still be a shitty decision. Tear you apart, but I'm like, yeah, at least you did it. At least you did it. Like, you're not just spewing nonsense. I got the feeling on this one, Maddie, though, that ain't happening. It ain't going to happen. It didn't happen. It never will happen.
Let's just think a year back. Let's just maximize the logic and see if it still makes any sense. This time last year, were you moving the 25-101 for CJ Stroud? So what I did here was take the quarterback who was performing well, make him younger, turn the hype to 11. I still don't think you were getting the 101. Now, of course, the 25 picks or the 24 picks were inflated. We knew that Caleb was coming. Jane Daniels were coming. So maybe that is where it's at. But I still don't like following logic if I have to turn all ends of it up to 11. It doesn't feel like it's going to track well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. All right, so let's try to break this down. All right, let's first off, let me tell you why I think it's a horrible decision. Right, so we spent 10 minutes just shitting on him for engagement, but let's actually dive into it and the reasons why I think that you and I are in agreement. Now, I'll give you the first one that I have, Maddie, and the most logical. Right now, Baker Mayfield on keep trade cut, and I'm not saying keep trade cut's the Bible, but it's a very decent pulse for how the dynasty community is feeling. He is playing well. Total warp on the season. QB2 in just a ho-hum league. You know, 4-point passing touchdown league. Nothing crazy bad or anything. He's playing well. He's helping fantasy teams. He is. He's QB15, though. That's what has got him. He's had a good season. A good season. And I would say this is logically, I'd put money on this one pretty solidly. This is probably going to be one of the best fantasy seasons you're ever going to see out of Baker Mayfield as far as a difference maker at quarterback. It doesn't happen often because Baker Mayfield is not a true Konami quarterback. He has ran the ball fairly well this year, which has been surprising, but he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Jane Daniels, Kyler Murray, right. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, right? Like, those guys will break a league with the amount of fantasy points. And if you guys don't fucking believe me, like, I did a massive episode on this fucking show way back when in the offseason talking about where fantasy points historically come from quarterbacks, and it's dudes who run the football at a clip that's 400 yards plus every single season, you know, because that also comes with a threat for 7, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns on the ground, which is massive in fantasy. In 4-point leagues, it's still massive in 6-point passing touchdown leagues. So, all this to say, Baker's having a good year. It started out as a down year for almost all quarterbacks across the board. So, a lot of his warp is going to come from the early season, which still looks good. As the season keeps going off, you see Baker starting to come back closer to the rest of the pack as Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray start to play better, as Josh Allen has bigger games, etc. Lamar has separated himself into like elite god tier, you know, do whatever you can to have Lamar Jackson on your team. But I say all that. So he's had a good year. Maddie, it's gotten him QB 15, like a very good QB 2 community consensus. That's where he's at. I want to do a little trip down memory lane, you know, hit the time machine button. Let's go back to that July 1st through August 31st Dynasty startup season, right before the season started. We had the most amount of information we were going to have as Dynasty managers when you go to do a startup, right? QB 15 is being drafted at the 307. The 307. That's QB 15. There's Dak Prescott. It's a third round rookie pick, mid-third, in Superflex leagues. And I would say Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield, whatever. If you wanted to make the same kind of rosy outcome for Baker Mayfield, that's fitting. That it feels like that's where QB 15 is going to go in a Superflex startup, if you were to do one in the offseason. Now, you want to take a guess where the 101 went? Pick or player. Doesn't matter.
I would have to say it's probably at the 1-2 turn.
Perfect. Nailed it. 112. 112. Caleb Williams. At the 202, Marvin Harrison. There's two rookies. There's the 102 too.
Yep.
Then you had Jalen Daniels, 301. Malik Nabers, 303. And that was it. That was it. So you had four rookies above QB 15. Not all quarterbacks, two of them quarterbacks, two of them wide receivers. I will say 2024 was a very, very, very good rookie class.
Yeah.
But historically, from playing Dynasty, and I'm sure if I could get ADP going back even to 2022, shitty rookie class from that same time frame, Breece Hall, he's going in the early second round at worst. At worst, the 101 I would put infinite amounts of money on. Like I would, my wife would hate it, but I'd be like, hey, I better house. I better house.
I don't think she'd be happy about that.
I better house that the 101 in 2025 in Dynasty startups in the offseason is going to go above Baker Mayfield very fucking comfortably. Very comfortably. I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, it was only two picks apart, Mike. We're talking around. If not a round and a half, if not two rounds above where Baker Mayfield goes. Even if he finishes the season as good as he has started the season, which could happen. Could happen. He just doesn't have that boost, right? Because we've seen Baker Mayfield for years. He's not going to climb up these dynasty ranks against all these other Konami, young, exciting quarterbacks the same way that people are going to push up whoever the fuck the 101 is. Whether that's a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward or an Ashton Jeanty or a fucking Tet McMillan or Luther Burden, insert whatever exciting rookie ends up being at the 101. And when they get to the 101, they get to the 101 because of everything, right? Their talent, the scouting profile, the combine, what team and landing spot and scheme that they're going to be in. I mean, people pore over this to decide who their 101 is. But the one thing I can tell you from playing Dynasty is almost every single year, no matter the rookie class, that 101 is going to go somewhere at the 1-2 turn in the range. Some years it's a little higher, which was crazy because this class was so fucking good. You and me, Maddie, have been around long enough to see, you know, Najee Harris and Trevor Lawrence in the first round as rookies. Yep. You know, Travis Etienne was up there until he hurt his foot and was going to miss time. Like, Jamar Chase has been up there, right?
Like, I'm old enough, Mike, to remember Josh Jacobs being up there. Oh,
yes. Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
This happens almost every single year. So to just say, like, I definitely trade the 101 for Baker Mayfield. Why? Why? It's like taking a Lamborghini and trading it in for a Honda Civic.
Bendable. It's performing well.
Sure is.
But it sure as shit isn't a Ferrari.
And it's not what everyone wants either. We'll get into that more. But there's my little soliloquy. Well, I like that word. Soliloquy on why.
Yeah. Big word.
Why it just doesn't make sense from a dynasty value standpoint if you just do a little bit of research and a little bit of future guessing. And I would think people who've played in real dynasty leagues long enough would know that. Like, they would have that pulse, that feel of the market. You know, and each league is individually. I completely understand that. And there's some variation from league to league. But the other thing it tells me that maybe, just maybe, a lot of people who are out here giving content and giving advice to people don't actually play in real leagues. They play in a home league or two. They play with a couple other content creators. They have three leagues total. But they're out here giving you content like they're out here like fucking Scott Connor grinding, you know, hundreds of leagues and shitting over, you know, Eric Van Eck going over waiver wires on, you know, four string tight ends who got 15% right. snap share. That's the kind of advice that they're putting out into the space. And it's complete bullshit. It comes from a place of not actually playing in fucking dynasty leagues worth a shit. I don't want to be like an elitist here, but I know these people. Like, peel back the curtain a little bit, not to shit on certain people, but you kind of understand, man. We got some tools to track, like, what leagues you play in.
Oh, yeah.
How many leagues you play in. You know, whether they're actually, you know, filled with people who aren't complete morons. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. A lot of these people are fake in this space.
This is a kind of a double-edged sword because on one hand, like, I find it infuriating, the engagement farming and what this content game has become, because at the end of the day, and the reason why, you know, our paths crossed once and I think we both knew in the back of our head that we were going to work together for a long time was we were about it. We're in these streets. We're about that life. I love fantasy football. I love playing fantasy football. I love talking fantasy football. And I only got into content because I was just talking to my friends about it so much. I said, I might as well hit the freaking record button. To see something like this, I hate to use this term because I sound like such a damn Karen, but it's just like irresponsible. It's just not real. It's not of this. It's not of any substance. And then on a practicality standpoint, like, let's just walk it through even more so. He's performing above expectation, above historical performances. Are we just going to say that this is the Baker Mayfield tried and true forever? We're just going to pretend that Chris Godwin didn't have his ankle explode and he's 28 and a free agent. We're just going to pretend that Mike Evans hasn't been able to stay healthy this year, soft tissue injuries, been out the last three games, 30 years old. Kind of on the back nine, or maybe even the back three, maybe even less. We're just going to pretend that Baker's just tried and true top five quarterback year in and year out? No. So even on an actual trade standpoint, you're accruing a guy whose predictability is only for the next few games, the next month and a half, this fantasy season, projecting out above that or further than that is fools. It's a fool's errand. I will say this, devil's advocate, if this content creator was putting this out there because he's trying to get the 101 for Baker, hats off to you. That's diabolical, and I will all that, yeah. As a guy who frequently loses out on trades because the people that I'm trying to make them with, here's my game plan on the airwaves, if he's just putting out that shit content so that he can sell Baker for the 101, I will take it all back. Because that would be as diabolical as a move as I've ever seen.
That is the ultimate pump and dump, right? the pump and dump. I could respect that one. You know, like, it's all for guys. Look at me. I got all these 101s for my Baker Mayfield. Perfect. Good job, buddy. I'd respect that one tenfold. I'd just issue a public fucking apology, too, for even insinuating. That was anything.
Dude, in the 4D Chess episode 123, we roll out the apology tour for the most diabolical and the most devastatingly psychotic move of all time. But I don't think that's the case. I just think, again, this engagement farming thing, it's just become so addicting. These likes and views and da-da-da-da just become such an animal of itself that you get things like this. And then, hey, here we are 20 minutes in. Talking about it. So, yeah, on one hand, it works. But on the other hand, this is why you listen to shows like 4D Chess, because we're not here to talk that shit. We're not here to just get people to listen by saying asinine moves. This is, we're about it. You know, whatever we talk about here, I'm practicing tomorrow when I make trades.
So something else I wanted to talk about, another section on this one, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's expound upon it for the people. As the 101, how does this help your team by getting a 29-year-old quarterback? Like, your team is so shit, you've locked up the 101 at this point. This is what we're assuming. So that's what you're talking about trading. You've locked it up. Your team is so shitty. How does Baker Mayfield change the entire fortunes of your team going into 2025, right? Like, isn't that a move where you're going to get active players and pieces? You've foregone the dynasty value game. I think we've eloquently explained how the dynasty value game hasn't. But in case people are still wondering, another reason that I have for this, Maddie, Baker Mayfield's not going up in dynasty value by any stretch of the imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I touched on that. Like, it's not. You know what can go up and can rise? And it happens every fucking year. Malik Nabers plays really well to start the season. He's getting fucking 15 targets, whatever it is. Jaden Daniels cements himself as QB1 in dynasty. Cements himself as QB2 in dynasty, whatever it is. Those guys go up in value. Like, what you are having to trade for Malik Nabers or Jaden Daniels in the offseason, right before the season kicked off, versus what you would have to trade for them now is a massive, massive difference. And if I'm a rebuilder, the one thing I do need on my team is the most amount of value possible. I need the most amount of bullets to go from mid or like, he's nice, to holy shit, everybody wants him. Everybody wants him on my team. Because if I'm the 101, I'm so fucking devoid of talent. I'm so devoid of dynasty value on my team. The one thing I do have to save my team as far as dynasty value goes is the goddamn draft pick that's sitting there. That I'm like, everybody in this league is going to want him, especially if I hit on this. Like, if I hit on this guy and he takes off and he's the next Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, Jaden Daniel, whatever the fuck it is. Like, I have 4 times, 5 times, you know, 6 times my investment cost. That's what you need. So to say that I'm going to take this one thing that I fucking have, how does it help my team by trading it away for something that's not going to do that? It is almost impossible for Baker Mayfield to ever ascend to top 3 dynasty quarterback value ever again. Like, never. I would also bet the mortgage on that one too, Matthew. Like, fuck it. That's
that
never
one. I'll,
gonna happen.
I'll add my house onto that. We can put our houses together to prove the point. Because, and this is, I think, why the Dak call earlier was so perfect. Because Dak did this last year. This was Dak last year. Dak was top 3 in warp, completely unbelievably valuable, fantasy football dominator. He was fantastic last year. And then he was the 15th QB off the board the following year startup. That's the trajectory that Baker's on. And we already went through that exercise. That's a 3rd-round pick. That's a round later than the 101 will go. And I don't care who the round one is. And I'll tell you this. Shedeur Sanders goes 2 overall to the Giants, 3 overall to the Raiders. That's just going to elevate everything else. Ginty is going to be a first-round pick. And we all have seen every single time that a first-round running back gets selected, I don't care if it's as mediocre of a talent as Josh Jacobs or as electrifying as a Bijan, you see that running back taken at the 1-2 turn. It's mid-second, the latest. So even with that baked into the 25 class, because you're already hearing it, right? 25 class isn't even that good. Oh, what do we want the 25 class for? Cut to some mock drafts that have 6 quarterbacks going in the first 10 picks again. Like, this is a QB needy league, and there's a lot of QB needy teams. And of course, that's going to elevate all the prices of our fantasy, of our rookie picks. And again, it just, any which way you explain how this works, you're just kind of talking shit. You're not backing it up. You can't walk through the timeline. You can't tell me that it makes sense. There's just no rhyme or reason. Now, had it been a first for Baker, you go, yeah, if you're contending, obviously you want Baker. I'm in a one QB league and he went for a second. He's doing for a contending team. He's performing. The analytics, you know, support it. The warp supports it. He's having a good year. But to your point, a 29-year-old quarterback on his fourth team, he has the contract, but the situation is far from rock solid, concrete, lock it in. I mean, Dak had Lamb, right? Dak had Lamb. Baker doesn't even have a Lamb, and we're just going to act like the 101 can just be shipped off for Baker? This isn't Baker from 10, you know, 6 years ago. This is the new Baker, which is probably better Baker for fantasy, but not value-wise. It's just never going to go up in value.
Like, I kind of attribute to a little bit of betting, too, right? Like, you put in a nice player prop, right? Say it was, say it was last night. You know, in the game or whatever. You know, we're living in an alternate reality. You put a nice prop in. You got a Jalen Waddle over 125 yards, right? You got great odds on it. We're in November. Jalen Waddle, in the game metaphor, has 150 yards at halftime. And the betting website you're using is going like, well, you could cash out. You know, we'll give you 60 cents on the dollar. You know, of your original bet. What the fuck for? Like, I've already made the money. Like,
yeah.
And I know it's just going to keep going up, right? Like, maybe it's a ladder play. You still got them going out even farther. Like, you got 175 yards. You got a giant bet at 200 yards. And you're like, fucking halftime. Why am I cashing this fucking thing out right now for mid? Like, kiss my ass. Yeah, the unlikely could happen. And maybe it's like 2 weeks ago and he catches a pass and then runs backwards fucking 40 yards. Very unlikely that it'll ever happen, but cashing out the 101 right now for Baker Mayfield at this time just feels like you just shooting yourself in the foot. Why? Why? Like, oh, you could have done better. Maddie, I've used that bar term too, you know, late night at the bar, picking up the ladies. 9 o'clock and you're ready to go home with a five. You know what I mean? No offense to the fives, but like you don't even want to at least see if there's an eight or a nine, you know, chilling as we get a little bit later. Like, why? What's the rush? What's the hurry? I've already wasted. Like, you already spent this time here. Like, what's another couple hours? You know, to see what else is out there. Fuck, you ready to jump at the first thing? And you and I can both attest to this first expo together. Good story. Not going to tell the whole thing, you know, save some people here. Mm-hmm. But we also knew a dude who jumped on the first thing that he saw. We made fun of him for forever.
And you know, in our younger days, you and I could have went to the bar. And I would even say that you could even take this and make it even more outrageous. In the bar scenario, you and I at the bar having a couple old fashions, you know. You come up to you go, hey, you see that supermodel? She said that she wants to come home, and it's locked in. She's excited. She's saying, hey, I'm going to go home with Mike. Come get me in an hour, and the bar closes. I'm coming with you, big guy. And you come up to me, and I go, hey, why would you want that supermodel? I got this offensive lineman that I'll go home with you now. And you'll go, I'll take it. Give it to me. It's like, buddy, you had the model and you already did the work. You got the supermodel. She's coming home in an hour.
It's in the bag.
And you're gonna go home with Zach Frazier? You're gonna go home and take Quentin Nelson home when you had the supermodel in an hour?
Who's that? Who's that Bucks offensive lineman with the mullet and missing the front teeth? Cody Mock.
Cody Mock. Yeah, Cody Mock.
That's what I'm taking home right there, buddy. Cody Mock.
Well, that's that you know, hey, you had me at Cody Mock.
I had you at mullet.
You had me at mullet. But yeah, if you've achieved the 101, and I say that a little tongue in cheek, but I think we all know that in Dynasty, getting the 101 sometimes it is earned. You had to shed points in real time. You had to make moves that truly stung. Because you're trading away value, true value, for perceived value and future hopes and dreams. So you earn the 101. And if you've earned that, you've locked that in by the 12th of November, you've earned it. And now you're just going to piss it away because there's a shiny new object. Because that's what Baker is. Like you said, he is the shiny new object. That's where it'll be. He doesn't have a path to be a year to year top five, top seven, even top 10 quarterback at this rate, given the amount of Konami Code guys, given the young players that haven't emerged yet. Like, who would you rather have right now in Dynasty, Mike? Michael Penix or Baker? If you're a 101 team.
I'd rather have Penix. Penix is not going to fuck up my 101.
Would you rather have J.J. McCarthy or Baker Mayfield?
J.J. McCarthy.
Right. So the point stands here that if Baker barely can sniff top 15 on value when he's the QB3 and wins over replacement, and you're still taking the guys, and rightfully so, taking the quarterbacks with all their career ahead of him, the upside, the value spikes, all of that ahead, and now you're going to do the exact same thing for – it just doesn't make sense on any front. On any front, it doesn't make sense. And I would say that – I know we've harped on the Baker Mayfield for the 101, the engagement farming that happened, but I would say even just take the conversation, you can make this about any of these kind of quarterbacks popping on their – you know, later in life, after the contract, the Dax last year, the Bakers this year. Do not get overzealous buying those players when you're not looking to win right now. Now, let me ask you this. Let's just put a bow on it. Talk about every which situation. We've broke it down a million ways. You're a playoff team that has the 101 from a previous trade. You're a playoff team. You need a quarterback to win in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still thinking about moving the 101 for Baker?
No. No.
Bingo. Me either. Me either. So
it could possibly be a conversation, but I'm not doing that straight up. I really ain't. And here's the reason why. Now, this is going to go more from game theory to player analysis, which has its place. It really does. Like, I like to operate more in the game theory and try to be a little bit more player agnostic. I don't always do a good job. I can acknowledge that. Like, Scott Connor is probably the most player agnostic person I've ever fucking heard do content ever, and he lives by it. Right.
And I strive fantasy football. He builds portfolios.
He builds portfolios and plays it as a stock market. That's his thing, man. He's playing the game theory all the way. And I love every fucking minute of it. Now, I wish I could be better at it, but I still do have some player takes. But here's more player takey on Baker Mayfield. No Chris Godwin, who was a warp god, for him. And Mike Evans has this crazy hamstring. He's relying right now on very unproven wide receivers. They're relying on the running game. I mean, even this last week, if you want to look at it, Baker had a pretty piss-poor week outside of, you know, stiff-arming Nick Bosa for 10 yards and making an incredible throw. Cool. I mean, up until that point, up until those final drives, I think he had, 89 or 90 yards passing.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who had built it up all season as multiple 300-yard games and dealing the ball all over the place and adding in a little bit of surprise rushing. That's not something I want to make a bet on right before the playoffs, like he is. If there ever was something that is on the downward trend of a stock market, that's it. That's it. Now, could he come back? Could Mike Evans come back fully healthy? And he's like, Mike Evans. Now we're just going to feed him like it was 2 years ago, you know, and we're going to get surprise performances out of Jalen McMillan or whatever the fuck it is, or Kate Otten will continue. Sure, I can see that scenario, but there's also just as likely of a chance that I keep seeing this downtick, that this is going to keep being a struggle bus ride for him here to end the season. Why would I send away the 101? In the other part, you and I talked about it on our contender episode, the very first fucking one we did together. Maddie, I want to hold that pick as long as I fucking can, right? Like, I want to be as informed and feel as good about that decision to send that away as I possibly can. And it's not going to be 4 weeks before the fucking trade deadline or 4 weeks before the playoffs start. Like, let me get there. And then who the hell else is available? Like, shit, maybe Patrick Mahomes is available for the 101 and he's starting to have an uptick or whatever the fucking case is. Maybe it's not Patrick Mahomes, but maybe Brock Purdy's still fucking balling out of his mind, you know? Like, and he's on the uptick as people get more healthy on his offense. Like, why do it now when in 4 weeks I could regret it going like, fuck, I wish I had it because this guy would have done the deal immediately. He would have taken this. I could have got a better player. So, no. As it stands right now, us recording Tuesday night, November 12th. Fuck no. Baker Mayfield for the 101 is a non-starter for me if I was a contender. Like, no. Baker Mayfield and something else? Okay, we could have a conversation, but not Baker Mayfield straight up.
You get Baker Mayfield when your winning window's wide open. And if you have the 101 and you've earned it before Thanksgiving, there's no way on God's green earth that that winning window is open now, and you could say with confidence it'll be open in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So now what? We're projecting to 2026. So my winning window open, it will open in 2026. So let me trade the 101 in 2025 for a 30-year-old quarterback who's having his best season in 2024. The math ain't mathin', Mike. It's as simple as that. The math ain't mathin'.
So a couple things that will close this episode out, Maddie. And one thing I didn't harp on, and I wish I would have, and it slipped my fucking mind when I was talking about it before, but you know for a fact, you are a good enough dynasty player that it pisses me off sometimes how good you are too. Like, that C2C league we face off this week, you and me, I think you're like the 3 seed, and I'm the fucking snuck in as the 6 seed on the college side, and I'm like, fuck, playoffs. Got Maddie. Maddie took like Harold Fannin in like the fucking 5th round or some shit like that, and I was like, look at this dumbass. Harold, fucking best tight end in college football right now.
Yeah, baby.
You're good enough to piss me off, all right? Let's know when you can get to me, when you frustrate the shit out of me. Maddie, you're good enough, and you've been around Dynasty long enough to know that Dynasty goes in cycles, right? What's hot right now is production. People scoring points. We watch it every Thursday and Sunday and Monday. You know, maybe not the primetime games other than Thursday this past week. They were all shit shows. But we watch fantasy production. That's what we want on our teams. That's what's hot. That's what people are looking at. We're talking about Warp. Nice little plug. SouthHarmonFF.com. Go check out the Warp tool. Perfectly. You get some of the shit we're talking about. Everybody wants production. So when I pulled up that startup ADP and I told you QB15 was in the 3rd round, that was startup ADP right before the season kicks off, right? That's fucking July and August when people are gearing up. Contenders are coming back. The redraft folks, there's a redraft hive that comes back to play Dynasty at that time too. They take the fucking whole offseason off other than the rookie draft, it seems like. Go try to send some of these people a trade in fucking March and see if you get a response. You don't. You don't. But come July and August, I see a whole bunch of people come back to the fantasy football / Dynasty space. That's startup ADP. So when people are doing startups in July and August, Maddie, they're a little bit more biased to production, proven talent, trying to build contenders. Let's look at the startup ADP from right before the NFL draft, when nobody gives a shit about production. You know what everyone cares about at that time? The dynasty cycle.
Yep.
Rookies and youth. Rookies and youth. And projection. It's all about dynasty value. So here's March and April's ADP startup dynasty values. And by the way, I said I do shout out good people. DynastyDataLab.com. The ADP, the customization. If you guys remember, I used to hype up Adico. Who fuck made Dynasty Data Lab? Adico. Adico's the man when it comes to ADP. Really fucking is. So, QB15 Maddie. Jared Goff at the time. He's going at the 409. The 409. Another round later than the QB15 is going to go right before the season. Do you want to take a guess? And this isn't rookies, so there's no names attached to them. This is just rookie picks. Picks. We don't know draft capital, landing spot, none of that shit. The only thing we have at this time is combine and some pro days. That's what we have. And conjecture with all the fucking shows and like ours who will be talking about like where could they go? What's a good fit? You know, how high would they go? What's that kind of shit. Do you want to take a guess at how many rookie picks go before QB15?
6.
Oh, you are correct. I feel like Chris Farley. I should take my shirt off now.
That is correct.
6 of them. And a 7th almost goes before him too.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts.
And I would also guess, and I'm not looking at this, that the 101 is three or four picks higher than the 112.
It is
like 108, 107.
It is two picks higher. It goes up to 110.
I thought it would be a little bit more because that, again, the hype around, the mystique around it always elevates those picks. And what do we have, four in the July through August time frame?
Yep.
That, you know, you get up two more rookie picks sneak in above the QB 15 in the desolate season, in the hopes and the peak on the peak of hope and dream season. You get six rookie picks.
Because of the unknown, right? The projection. Mm-hmm. People doing the math in their head. What's this gonna be worth here? And here's the fucking crazy part. Maddie, you look at it back now, QB 15, Jared Goff at the time, six rookies going above him. How many rookies in this class right now would you take above Jared Goff in the Superflex League? Straight up.
Rookies I would take.
Let's just say, let's be agnostic of team need or direction or whatever.
Right.
Let's play in this hypothetical world. You take in Jaden Daniels above him, right? No
of
question.
Of course. Yep.
Caleb Williams still?
Yes.
Marvin Harrison?
Yes.
Malik Nabers?
Yes.
Brock Bowers?
TEP?
Yep, tight end preview.
And yes. Yes, I am.
Drake May.
Yes.
New England legend, Drake May.
Yes.
I told you, irregardless of direction, J.J. McCarthy.
Yes, I am. Because what has happened since that draft all the way to now? We've been hit with a huge bucket of cold water. Goff is production-wise right around QB 15. I think he's QB 13. Mm-hmm. In points per game. And he's in the best offense in football. Mm-hmm. He's had the moments where, you know, mm-hmm. the hype, like you said, production, visual, on field. We're in the peak season that a one-handed catch might get you a trade. That ain't happening in May. That ain't happening then. That's not when those type of spikes happen. And yet, I'd still take the unknown of the 110 in the NFL draft, whatever it was, 111, 110, McCarthy, over Goff. I would.
Bo Nix.
I'd take Bo Nix.
Brian Thomas Jr.?
This is where it gets cloudy, but a month ago I would have taken Brian Thomas with a bullet. So I guess if I'm going to stick to my process, yeah, I'm going to go Brian Thomas.
What about somebody we haven't seen a whole lot of, Rome Odunze?
Yeah, I'd still take Rome. I believe in Rome, even though the Chicago thing is an absolute train wreck. Absolute train wreck, but I'd still take Rome. I think Rome's a sick player.
Don't worry, they fixed it all by firing their terrible offense coordinator and hiring a guy who got fired from Carolina's terrible offense last year. Or sorry, not hiring, promoting.
it's malpractice. It's going to cost everyone their jobs and potentially Caleb Williams his rookie contract.
We're in 1,000% agreement on this. I think you don't get to an inflection point where you have to make a decision, and I wouldn't be mad either way. Until you get to Michael Penix. Michael Penix or Jared Goff. Irregardless of build, doesn't matter. You know, we're playing in this hypothetical. Who gives a shit? You like Goff more than Penix? Sure. Fine. I get it.
Yeah, you could make the argument. I mean, you could just close your eyes and see Penix in this offense with May, with Drake London and Pitts and Mooney and Bijan and go,
it's pretty nasty.
Fucking crazy. All right, we'll play a fun game here to end. Players you wouldn't trade for the 101 right now, right? We'll do the opposite, right?
Okay.
This person wants to send away the 2025 101, Maddie, for Baker Mayfield. Let's get into players you wouldn't send for the 101. Let's find out where that cutoff point is. We'll stick with just quarterbacks to start. But Bo Nix or the 2025 101. Bo Nix is one spot above Baker Mayfield on keep trade cut.
I'd keep the 101. I would not trade Bo Nix for the 101.
I am the same. Brock Purdy or the 101?
101.
Drizzy Drake May or the 101?
This is razor thin, but I'd still take the 101.
Justin Herbert or the 101?
The 101.
Kyler Murray or the 101?
Kyler.
I'm with you on that one, too. All right, Caleb Williams or the 101? You get the chance to do it all over again next year.
We hit the reroll, and this is, I think this is such a glaring point, and so glad you did it this way, because I think this is really going to resonate with our listeners. Is the 101 isn't tarnished by a bad offensive coordinator. The 101 is not hurt by the whole team just blowing up and a dumpster fire being ignited. I feel like my gut says Caleb, because Caleb is still a hyped prospect. Caleb can still get value bumps from now until next season. But man, oh man, it's close, but I'm going to go Caleb, but it's so, so close.
I would not shit on you for either answer, Maddie. I would say that you bring up good points about Caleb Williams, that he could rebound. He could get a Ben Johnson as coach next year. Bobby Slowick out of Houston as a head coach. Offensive-minded coach that we get really excited about with Cliff. The weapons he already has.
Bring Cliff back.
They spend their very good draft pick next year on an offensive lineman. They bring somebody in and free, whatever the fuck it is, right? They upgrade the offensive line. Caleb takes a step forward. We've seen rookie quarterbacks have terrible rookie years, and then, oh my God, second year, look, he's not shit. Let's talk about like Trevor Lawrence. Remember his first year with fucking Urban Meyer was a dumpster fire of shit. Next year with Doug Peterson, it was like, oh, there's the guy that we want, right? Like that. Right. Now it's kind of gone back. Doug Peterson sucks. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is hurt, and yeah, it is what it is. But we've seen this. Like, this happens quite often. So if you wanted to stay on the Caleb Williams train, I fully get it. But your main point, Matty, the 101's not going to have piss poor play. It's not going to have bad coaching. It's not going to get hurt. It's not going down in value between now and fucking rookie draft season. It ain't happening. Mm-hmm. It's going up in value. It's going up for now. So we're talking about this in November, but you got to project it out there. Caleb Williams or the 101, odds on who's worth more in a dynasty startup? I would say the odds right now with what Caleb's going through would say that the 101's going to go before Caleb Williams.
That's right.
So it's an inflection point right there. All right. Patrick Mahomes or the 101?
Ooh, I'm going to go with the 101 because I was as sure as shit this year that this is going to be the big Patrick Mahomes season, and that's just not how they're built to win right now.
I think if the name wasn't Patrick Mahomes, we wouldn't currently see him at QB8 in Dynasty.
I agree.
It has been that bad where it should be far worse. But the one thing that I do kind of lean on if you went Patrick Mahomes in this situation is the fact that he still carries that Patrick Mahomes name, and there's enough believers out there, which is keeping him at QB8, even though it should be like QB14 at this point.
Totally agree. He'll have a ball of performance in the AFC Championship, which means nothing for fantasy, but that will hold water.
Jordan Love or the 101?
This is, I think, where the tide's turning a little bit more. I would take Love.
Stroud or the 101?
I take the 101.
Damn. All right. Joe Burrow or the 101?
I take Burrow.
I get you. All these guys from like Caleb on have been, and I think this also speaks to you and I, like Kyler Murray's name was brought up, and I was like, fucking Kyler. Just how much, side note, you guys should go try to acquire Kyler Murray. Like, you really should go check the pulse in your league on Kyler Murray. If the community says he's a QB10, he shouldn't fucking be a QB10. Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Is that even a conversation?
No.
Okay. There we go. There we go. There's your quarterbacks, man. It took a lot of quarterbacks a lot higher and a lot safer than Baker Mayfield for Matty Gewohnt and myself to go like, yeah, the quarterback.
And we'll take the only, you know, you want to call it a wrinkle. The only curve in the conversation was Konami. Baker ain't Konami, man. Baker ain't Konami.
See, and this is the fucking crazy thing. What if, let's live in this world, Maddie. What if next year, at rookie draft season time, Cam Ward is the number one overall pick to the New York Giants? You just said the word Konami. Konami, Giants, Dayball, Malik Nabers, you want to know how high that motherfucker's going? After what we just saw from Jaden Daniels, what we're seeing right. from Bo Nix and Drake May as far as the ability to run the football at the quarterback position, yep. and how much that raises your floor. Bo Nix is having an awesome year for a rookie quarterback, and this is an awesome year from a guy who's had two games below 100 yards passing, right?
Yep.
The reason he's up there so far is because his big games have been pretty big when he rushes for 70 or 80 yards and he That's puts right. a score in the end zone. From a guy we thought was athletic and could run a little bit but didn't anticipate this. The reason Drake May right now is sitting up here at QB12 isn't just because he's got awesome weapons or a great line, because we know that's fucking bullshit.
Nope.
It's because he's out there running his ass off and looking good mm-hmm. at it. He looks like this amalgamation of Justin Herbert and Josh Allen had a baby. And I saw somebody
95
said,
rushing yards just a couple weeks ago, man.
I saw like he's fully fulfilling the Josh Allen thing too, because since he started, he leads the league in like turnover-worthy plays. So like he's fully embraced that, which is completely fine by me, because the fantasy points have been good when he plays. So that's where we're at, man. That's what we're at on here. You don't think that if Cam Ward ended up being a top selection to a fairly good team with his Konami ability and arm talent, people aren't going to drool over him? Nah. It's happening. It's happening. It'd be a fucking lock. And the crazy thing, like, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is that great at running the football. I think he could do it a little bit more. But I still look at him and I go, man, I think he's a better runner of the football than C.J. Stroud is, and I'm looking at a C.J. Stroud of QB6 on Keep Trade Cut.
Right.
He goes to a good organization, the hype's going to be all over this guy. One, because of his name. Two, because he's actually pretty fucking good at playing football. He actually is. So, here we are. Here we are. I think we've spent an hour shitting on a terrible take of trade the 101 for Baker Mayfield. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's either engagement farming, it's being misinformed, which we've tried to clarify here on why that's a bad idea. Or three, this is probably the worst thing for me, Maddie. They actually do believe it, and they're so misinformed that they're just willing to give bad advice to all their listeners, all their audience members. And that's the part that I want to see Dynasty players do better. Right, that's why we do a fucking podcast. That's why we do the show. I want to see people do better. Is it fun to have a fish or two in your league that you can take advantage of and you can make fun of? Yeah. But the most fun I have in leagues is where you got 12 people, and this seems to happen a lot, not to toot our own horns, but you get in a South Harmon league with some of these fucking Savage members who listen to all the content we do. They have their own good processes that may be slightly different than mine. And I got to figure out how to beat some of these sons of bitches. That's actually fun. That's challenging. It's playing in a league full of fish is not fun. You know, it's fun for your wallet. Just prints money. But it's not actually that engaging. You know, you don't have to try at it. It'd be like if, you know, I went and I had a wrestling meet with, you know, a bunch of fifth graders. You know, like, where's the challenge here? Maybe if it was all of them at the same time. It might be able to get me down.
You know, the first few choke slams are going to be a lot of fun.
The first few
Stone Cold Stunners are going to be a blast. But eventually, you're going to be like, all right, what is happening here?
What are we doing? All right, Maddie, there's an hour in. You got any final thoughts or anything else that you want to say? Plug away too, man. You are doing so much good stuff. If you guys haven't checked out the shorts page, we got a little action going on.
Oh yeah.
We got a Fizzle Friday one out there, you know, white trivia. If you don't want anything to do with fantasy football, that's a perfect one to go.
It's funny.
A great time.
Maybe laugh.
And then Maddie dropped one today, which I must have missed it on the show, that question getting answered that Brian made into a short. That fucking trade actually got vetoed the day after Jamar Chase went off. What the fuck?
And then later in the show, I believe his name was Tony, and shout out to Tony. He said that the quote that he got from his league mate was, "CeeDee Lamb now has zero value for the rest of the season."
Oh my God. What a trash fucking reason.
10 targets. I know it was bad, but 10 targets was a sun ball away from at least 15 fantasy points at zero value.
Zero value, man. CeeDee Lamb's toast. You heard it there first from Tony's dumbass league mates.
Yeah, I felt bad for Tony, but that was actually asked and answered on the game plan. You can come check out the game plan on Sunday Fun Days here at South Harbor, where we get the party started bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, going through some rankings, talking about warp, talking about lineup decisions. We get the game plan started, and then you head back over to the channel at noon for Start or Shit with Eric, T-Rock, Matt Dennis, myself, a number of people hop on. And then, of course, the recap show with you and Adam talking about all the day's big ups and downs and all the fantasy takes from it. Sunday Fun Days, I can't plug it enough. And then, as always, SouthHarmonFF.com. Get over there. Become a member of the South Harmon team, the community. Get on Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Get the articles. Get in the Discord, the Warp Tool, the rankings. We just got so much going on here, and you got to be a part of it.
Maddie, your videos every single week, your solo videos are awesome. And then so far, we're pretty solid. Like every 2 weeks, you and I put out a Warp Buys and Sells video. Mm-hmm. Listen, you don't want to wait 2 fucking weeks, or you want to get the full picture, SouthHarmonFF.com. Go sign up for the Warp Tool. Or like Adam likes to say, warp.life. That's the easiest way to get to it. Type that shit into your browser. That's all I got, Maddie. Get the fuck out of here. I got to ask, though, what am I doing for the outro song? All right, I had a feel before you got on. I'm always early. I'm habitually early. I can't force myself to be late. Like, I'd rather just fucking call in sick than be late to work. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to be 5 minutes late, I'll be like, I just ain't coming in today. Like, it throws me off. I don't fucking like it. So I'm sitting here. Hadn't started drinking just yet, but I'm rocking some old school Backstreet Boys. You think I should put a little BSB on the outro?
I'll never turn down BSB, but I'm going to throw this out here. We're in a totally different direction.
Okay.
We just spent this whole hour rebelling against the new wave, the kind of engagement farming, just what's becoming the quote-unquote the man. And I thought to myself, you know what song we should go out with? NWA, Fuck the Police.
Let's go, man. NWA, you sold me. That's a better pivot. I'll save BSB for another time. All right.
We'll get BSB. We'll get into some BSB. Don't you worry.
I don't know if we could go any farther on the opposite end of the spectrum with those songs either. BSB and NWA. All right, let's go. Fuck the police.
Three letters, though. There's three BSB.
NWA, they are three letters.
They're a group of men. Group of men, you know.
They are a group of men. All right, everybody. Appreciate y'all. Do us a favor. If you like the podcast, please give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. Share it with your fucking people, man. Share it with your league. Share it with your friends, whatever. Maybe don't share it with your league if you don't want them to win or get some good strategies. Send them over to the people who say trade the 101 for instead. But either way, we appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. It will be episode 123. Love y'all. Out of this thing. Peace.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown and not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Black please give your testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident.
Fuck the police and Rin said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. That's what whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Rin was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying fuck you punk. Read my rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club so you stand with a fake ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up. And we'll go at it punk and I'ma fuck you up. Think you think I'ma kick your ass. But drop your gat and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime. But I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me. Any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope. Taking out a cop or two that can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad. With potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around. Put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that. But it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day. But a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Fuck the police.
Tell the jury how you feel about this bullshit.
I'm tired of the motherfucking jacking. Sweating my gang while I'm chilling in the shack and shining the light in my face. And for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much butt I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence. Cause my identity by itself causes violence. Or even with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun and a badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror. And it's on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the 8, he'll be the one that I take out. And then get away while I'm driving off laughing. This is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Jury has found you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.